Let's take the Word of God tonight and we will go to Habakkuk chapter number 2. Habakkuk chapter number 2. And if you have a hard time finding it, just find the book of Matthew and turn back and you will eventually come to the book of Habakkuk. Now, I've chosen to study through this book, and there's been a few Sunday nights that I've not been able to. I know, we talked about the renovations, and Pastor Thomason preached last Sunday night. So tonight I want to get back into this study, and I want you to remember Habakkuk is the prophet of God, that obviously during a time when God is sending the nation of Babylon to bring judgment upon his people, they've turned their backs on the Lord. Remember, from the lowliest citizen all the way to the king, they don't want God and they don't want his word. And Habakkuk is living in a time like that. And God is dealing with him and giving him hope and helping him to trust him. Tonight, I want to preach to you on this subject. When God says, that's not yours. Do you know there are certain things in life that I believe that God says to us, that's not yours. Don't touch that. Don't try to obtain that. It's not yours. You say, well, what does this all have to do with? Well, Habakkuk is dealing, no doubt, with the nation of Babylon. By the way, why are they coming? Well, they're used to coming and seizing other nations. Do you know that the nation of Babylon during this time was the greatest nation on the face of the earth? The wonder, the splendor of Babylon, I won't go into all of it. How thick the walls were around the city. I mean, they were so thick they used to have chariot races on top of the walls. The glory of Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar, their king, and all that they were able to do. Were they not content with what they had? No. They wanted more and more. And they coveted other nations and other things. And God deals with them in judgment. But I want us to notice, let's go back to Habakkuk chapter 2, and let's just look back in verse number 1, and then we will pick up with where we have left off. And last time we left off in verse number 4, but I want for us to start at verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Verse number 5, yea, also because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hail, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. Would you underline that little phrase? The Bible says, woe to him, danger to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay, shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them? Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. We go back to verse number 6, and notice what the Bible says. And by the way, in the second chapter of Habakkuk, there are 5 woes, and we'll look at them tonight. But the first woe is in verse number 6. It says, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. Tonight, when God says, that's not yours, would you join me in a word of prayer tonight? And would you pray for me now as the Lord will enable me to preach? And let's pray together. Father, Lord, without thee, I can do nothing. I recognize tonight my inadequacy. I recognize tonight that this is a supernatural book, and Father, I cannot explain it or preach it without thy power. And I pray tonight that you will draw us close to thee. Father, would you speak to us about things in our own lives that we are trying to obtain that are not ours? And I pray that we would yield to you this very moment. Lord, do your work this evening. May we leave this service knowing that you have met with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we call this short book of Habakkuk one of the minor prophets. Well, don't look down upon that. It's a minor prophet, but it has a major message. And the message, and by the way, the very theme of the book of Habakkuk is found in chapter 2 and verse number 4, where it says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him." The pride is not upright in him. And the Bible says, "But the just shall live by his faith." And that's where Habakkuk has come to. Look, he is not going to change the judgment of God. Judgment is coming. He cannot turn the heart of the people. He's preached to them. He's prophesied to them. By the way, one of the very first messages I preached on this was that God said that if they would turn to the Lord, God would have mercy and not judgment. God would heal their land, but they would not turn. Remember Habakkuk, we understand the prophet talked about how that he took the word of God into the king and prophesied to the king. And what did the king do? He took a penknife and cut it up and threw it in the fire. God sent word again and he did the same thing. Why? Because the people said, "We don't want God and we don't want his word." So what is Habakkuk going to do? By the way, have you ever been at a time in your life when things are not going the way that you hoped they would go? When life maybe is not turning out the way you had planned for it to turn out? Is there any hope for you? And is there anything that you can do? Yes, the just shall live by his faith. Can I tell you, that is exactly where Habakkuk is. This is not what he wants for his nation. This is not what he wants. This is not what he had planned. But the just shall live by his faith. Now, folks, Habakkuk is in this situation, and yet God, in his infinite wisdom, gives Habakkuk hope in this book. And I want you to notice some things. By the way, God is speaking in Habakkuk 2, verse 4, about living by faith. And folks, if we live by faith, can I tell you what that means? We're trusting God. We're depending upon the Lord. And God sees all things from the beginning to the end, and the God who sees all things is going to take care of us. Now, Habakkuk is dealing with his confidence and his trust. And folks, tonight, our confidence must not be in people or in things, because both of those things can change. Do you know that people change, right? And we can lose things. But if our confidence is in those things, we are in trouble. Our confidence must be in the God who makes no mistakes. The just shall live by his faith. Now, God pronounces some judgments upon the nation of Babylon. Let's look at them tonight. We looked at the first one in verse number 6, where it says, "Woe to him that increaseth that which is not his." Now, Habakkuk goes on to say, how long? He is saying, God, how long before you judge the nation of Babylon? By the way, God is going to judge them. In fact, do you know that the greatest nation on the face of the earth, it is nothing now, because God brought judgment upon them. Let's look at the next judgment. Look in verse number 9. The Bible says, "Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it." Here God pronounces another judgment. "Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house." Brethren, let me say this to you. Do you know that we are guilty at times of coveting things that do not belong to us? Folks, tonight God wants to say to us, that's not yours. I remember growing up, and oftentimes, I remember as a kid being in a store with my mom and my two sisters. And I remember sometimes I would want something. Now, I was just a little kid. And I would want something and I would reach out and grab it. And my mom would say, "Hey, son, put that back. That's not yours." That's not yours, son. I'm sure as parents, we have said that to our children many times when maybe they have taken something that is not theirs, and we say to them, wait a minute, stop, put that back. That's not yours. Many times, maybe a child will want to have something else that another child has, and we must remind them, stop, that's not yours. And that is where God wants us to see this great story here tonight and to learn about our own lives. We read on here, look what it says in verse 12. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establish a city by iniquity. That's what the nation of Babylon had did. Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Look in verse 15. Here's another woe. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, that makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts, which made them afraid because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. Did you know in verse 15, God pronounces judgment. There is a curse that anyone who gives someone an alcoholic beverage. Think of that just for a moment. You think of people in bartender places. There's curse. There's a judgment upon them for giving their neighbor drink. Folks, may I say this to you? God has much to say about alcohol. I know we live in a society today where it's almost taboo. You don't talk about this too much. But the Bible says that it is sin in the eyes of God. It is against God to put alcohol into our body in any form or way. And there is a judgment that God pronounces. Let's read on here. Let's go, if you would please, to verse number 19. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over the gold with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Now, verse 19 is speaking of the Babylon. They are worshiping their false gods, and they've taken wood and overlaid them with silver and gold, and they worship those false gods. There is judgment coming. But tonight I want to deal particularly with what the Bible says in verse number 6. Woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. Tonight, may God help us to see that there are things that God says, that's not yours. Now let me give you some things tonight. May God help us. Number one, I want you to notice the lust. Do you know something that all of us tonight deal with lust within our heart? We have lust within us. It's a part of our sin nature that we lust after things. We lust after them. We want things. We desire things. You know, something I think all of us can think back to times in our lives when we were consumed with lust at certain times. Maybe a lust to obtain something, a material possession. Maybe a lust to get to a certain position in life. But that lust is not of God. That lust is something within our own hearts. Here Habakkuk 2, God mentions the lust of these people. And by the way, remember that the problem is their pride. Back in verse number 4, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. Why is there lust? Because of the pride of his own life. Folks, pride does the same thing for each and every one of us. It tells us that we do not need God. It tells us that we are self-sufficient, that we can direct our own lives and do as we please. And if we want it, then we should get it. You know something? We live in a society like that today. The society says, hey, if you want it, you don't need to wait for it. You need to get it because you should have no restraint to yourself whatsoever. The lusts of the flesh. We deal with the lust in our own heart. By the way, we have an enemy within us tonight. I want you to remind you of that. We may be attractive on the outside and appear to have everything in order, but on the inside, we have a lust. We have an evil beast that is lusting for that which is not ours. You know, in fact, the Bible tells us that when we covet another neighbor's house, another neighbor's land, another neighbor's wife, another neighbor's husband, God says that that is evil in His sight. It is sin. And here God is dealing with the nation of Babylon, and He is saying, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. In fact, do you think about David in the Word of God? Did you know that all throughout David's life, did you know how God referred to Bathsheba? Do you know how God referred to her as? The wife of Uriah the Hittite. Is that not a remarkable? Do you know that Uriah was dead? I mean, listen, we would say, well, that's no longer his wife. But David stole her. David took something that was not his. And all throughout David's life, God still referred to her as Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Do you know something, folks? We have a lust within our heart. That's evil beast that lurks within us. Now, I don't care how long you've been a Christian or how long that you have been serving the Lord, you still have the lust of the flesh. Let's take our Bibles and go to James chapter number 4. I'm going to show you what the Bible says here. James chapter number 4, very important passage. Folks, the heart lusts for what God does not want us to have. Now, by the way, let me stop and explain this. I believe that there are certain desires that God gives us that is not the lust of the flesh. By the way, it's not wrong to desire for people to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's not lust. That is desire for God to use us and for God to be glorified. Do you have certain desires for your children that are not self-motivating desires? I don't believe that is lust. But what is this lust dealing with? Let's look in James chapter number 4 and notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Where does that come from? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You know what the Bible says right there, we'll read on in just a moment, that there is something that is warring within our lustful heart. It's the lust. It wars within our members. The Bible is speaking of our members. That's dealing with our body. It's dealing with the parts of our body that lust. We might think of things. We might see something that we lust after. We've got to have that. When often God may say, sorry, that's not yours. Folks, may I say to you today, let us be grateful. Let us be thankful for what the Lord has given to us. Because the lust dwells within. Let's read on in verse 2. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. God is dealing with there. God says you even may pray about it, but if you're not receiving an answer to that prayer, then it's due to your asking to consume it upon your lust. For instance, you say, well, Pastor, I'm praying to God that I would like this, and maybe it's something, and there's nothing wrong with praying about that, but I think God is dealing with the motive behind why we are praying it. We read on here, it says in verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but He giveth more grace? Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. James chapter 4 deals with the lust that wars in our members. And folks, there are things that God says that is not yours. Why do we lust after that? Because it's within our heart. The lust. Number two, I want you to notice not only the lust, but I want you to notice the lure. The lure. Now, this morning I talked a little bit about fishing. We talked about Peter. He said, I go a fishing. You know something? When you go fishing, you have to use a lure, do you not? Now, it might be a fake lure. That's fine. It might be a real live worm. It might be something of bait, a lure. You know something? I don't know of anybody that's gone fishing by just throwing a hook into the water. That fish is not going to bite that. There has to be a lure. But may I remind you that Satan has lures for you and I. Look here. On the inside, we have lust. I have lust. You have lust. The lust of the flesh. It wants that which does not belong to us. It lusts after things that God never intended for us to have. And folks, that lust is real. We must recognize it and know it. And that is why we must walk in the Spirit. You see, the key tonight is not suppressing the flesh of the lust. We can't do that in our own strength. The key is to walk in the Spirit. That's the key tonight. But the second thing, there is the lust within, but there is a lure without. Hey, look here. The devil knows what will tempt us. I believe that every one of us tonight, we have certain things in our lives that the devil is good at tempting us with because he knows what we are vulnerable to. He knows it. He knows what will get us to fall. The devil studies our life. Folks, we have an enemy on the inside that refuses to yield to God. So the devil hangs things out there for us and says, come and get it. Here it is. Look at it. By the way, how do you think most commercials, do you know what they use? They use lures. Do you know the commercial? Let's just be honest, all right? And let's take a commercial for a vehicle. Do you know what? On that commercial, I'll tell you what you see. You see happy people. Do you not see that? You see people that life is really good now that they have that vehicle, right? The sun comes out. Have you seen those before? I mean, when they were driving their old vehicle, it was raining, you know? Cloudy, stormy, all the time. I mean, that's what you think. And if you stay with that same car, your life is going to be miserable. You're going to be unsuccessful. But if you get that new car, guess what? And by the way, every person they use on there is very fit and trim. Have you noticed that? I mean, let's just be honest, all right? I mean, you see people that are, they're handsome, they're beautiful, they're fit, they're trim, and life is good. They have plenty of friends. They have plenty of money. And you know what? That's a lure. The lure is, I need that. The lure is, now listen, I'm not necessarily saying that that is sin in and of itself, but I'm trying to give an example. The devil dangles things in front of us, and we get the idea that if I get that which does not belong to me, I can really have peace and joy and happiness in life. There is a lure without. And folks, today, as we think of these, why did the Babylonians take things that were not theirs? Why did they come and seize other nations? Because they had the lust within, but the lure without. And that is how the devil works in our hearts. You know what the devil says to us? Come on, this is where it's all at. This is happiness. This is joy. You've never felt so good if you can have this. You've never felt so much joy and happiness until you get this. But I'll tell you what happens. You may get what you want, but you will lose what you have. Folks, that's how the sin always works in our life. Oh, the devil will give it to you. The devil will give it to you. And by the way, there is pleasure in sin for what? A season. Listen, God does not deny that there is pleasure in sin, but the season will end. The season comes to a close. The season ends to where now you have to pay for it. The devil always hides the price tag to the sin. The devil says, just go ahead. It's yours. You need this. And there is a lure without. Listen, the devil always makes promises that he can never keep. Listen, God says, He is saying in this passage in the book of Habakkuk, basically the Lord is saying, you want something out of the lust of your heart, but you cannot get it. You know something? That's what the lust is. The lust in our heart will never be fulfilled. Why? Because it lusts. It wants more. It wants more. It wants more. It'll never be satisfied. And folks, may God help us tonight to see that we have the lust without, the lust within, and the lure without. You know something? The lust of the heart without God says, I want more and more because nothing satisfies me, and I have to keep trying something else. Tonight, can I tell you? Do you not know the secret? The secret is that nothing satisfies apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the lust within, the lure without, and number three, the last thing, we see the loss. Take your Bibles, and I want you to go to Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 32. There is a loss. Now, by the way, God has declared to Habakkuk that there was truly coming a day of judgment for them. They were going to be judged. So how can we apply this tonight? Folks, just as surely as God brought judgment upon the nation of Babylon, God destroyed that tremendous nation. I mean, they had wealth untold. They had power beyond what you could ever imagine. But they got it by the wrong way. By the way, we need to be very careful about idolizing people who have gotten their wealth the wrong way. By thinking of people, oh, they're so great, but they did it by the wrong path. And that's what the nation of Babylon did. They stole. They took that which was not theirs. They conquered other nations. That's how they become great. Think about the great Nebuchadnezzar. That's how he become great. And guess what? You know what God did to Nebuchadnezzar? He made him crawl on the ground like an animal for 7 years. God made him humble himself before him until he lifted his eyes into the heavens and declared that God is the only true living God. Folks, tonight, really, this passage brings it down to ourselves. How can we apply this? We can apply it tonight to know, to recognize that you have a lust within your heart and I have it. And if we feed the flesh, the lust of the flesh, it will never be satisfied. If we continually give into it, you'll never be satisfied. And folks, that lust, it is not that we suppress it. It is not that we deny it. We simply walk in the Spirit. We abide in Christ. And I'll tell you what He does. He gives us victory. The lure without. Young people, there is lures everywhere. There is a lure. There's a lure of peer pressure to think, if I do this and get a part of this, I'll have friends and I'll have popularity. It's a lure. By the way, think of the prodigal son. Was there not a lure for him? Boy, he had friends, didn't he, when he had money. And when his money was gone, his friends was gone. That's the loss that God is talking about. Tonight, you may covet something and you may get it, but you won't keep it long. Because it will not satisfy, and it is not eternal. You know, in fact, the Bible says this, that he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I love that verse. Because you know what it's saying? Folks, if you'll do what God wants you to do, if you'll have and obtain what God wants you to have and obtain, it'll abide forever. It'll last. But if you got it through lust and covetousness, it'll be a great loss. Look what the Bible says in Romans 8 and verse number 32. I want to show this to you. So important. And let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 31. Romans 8, 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Would you notice this phrase? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Folks, do you know the secret tonight is this? Is that through Jesus Christ, God has given us everything that we need. Through Jesus Christ. Tonight, that lust within wants this. I know of people, not here, but I know of people. They're always searching for that next thing. They think that they can obtain this or this or this. It'll finally bring satisfaction to their life. I've even heard of people before. I heard someone tell me years ago, they told me about they have a spouse that, or I'm sorry, a sibling, a sister actually, and she's been married multiple times. And she said to him, "I'm just going to keep doing it until I get it right." That's what she said. You know, the problem is she'll never get it right because she's searching for something that she'll never find. She's searching for something, the lust of her heart. She wants something that doesn't exist. And folks, that's what covetousness does to us. We think if I can get this new, or if I can get this thing, if I could just obtain this, then I would be happy. I would be satisfied in life. But the lust of the flesh never satisfies. In fact, what does the Bible talk about? In the book of Galatians, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." Those are eternal things. But the Bible talks about the lust of the flesh. It's manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, lasciviousness. It goes on and on. That's the lust of the flesh. And we live in the lust. That's what we will do. But secondly, the lure. Young people, there's lures out there. Men, there are lures out there. Young ladies, there are lures there. It's everywhere. The world has them. And they dangle something in front of us saying, "Boy, this is what you really need. This is what you really need. And boy, I'm telling you, it's rough at home. You don't have a good marriage. This is what you need here. And boy, your parents are always on top of you about this and always on your case about this. You need freedom." And, you know, that's why some people go, young people go to the military. They want freedom from authority and all of that. And that is something. I'm going to get out of these rules and all of that. But the devil dangles things, the lure. But the last thing we need to understand is there is great loss. Look here, every time in my life that I have yielded to the lust of the flesh and the lure of the devil, I'm going to tell you what it's brought. Great loss. Hurt, wounds, pain. I look back upon that and boy, I fell right into the trap of the devil. And I think all of us can attest tonight that there's times when we lusted after this. We thought, "This is what I need." But God says, "That's not yours." By the way, tonight, are you content with what God has given to you? Are you content? Let's think about that. Are we content tonight? In fact, the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. It's not loss. It's gain. Tonight, may God help us. There are some things that God has said, "That's not yours." Let's praise Him tonight for who He is. And let's realize tonight in Romans 8:32 that it says, "He that spared not His own Son." Listen, Jesus, God didn't spare His own Son for you, but delivered Him up for us all. "How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Folks, God gives us everything that we need. We do not have to steal. We don't have to rob. We don't have to covet. We don't have to lust. He gives us everything that He deems that we need.